not woke. Make that clear. Awake, not woke.
Hello, initiates, and welcome to another episode of the Awake Not Woke podcast. As always, my name is Sarah, and you are listening to episode 40. We are going to be talking about the thought realm and thoughts in general, what that means, not that hoe over there, the thoughts that happen in your head. And we are going to cover a lot of different aspects of what thoughts are, from the scientific side, the spiritual side, the practical side. This episode goes quite well along with the manifestation episode because it's all very similar topics, but we're coming at it from a little different angle in this episode. So I think you'll really enjoy it. It is very useful and thought-provoking information, and I think you're going to enjoy it. So before we get onto the episode, make sure you follow us on Instagram at Awake Not Woke Podcast. We also have a website, awakenotwokepodcast.com. We have a contact page on that website. So if you don't do social media and you want to hit us up for whatever reason, hit us up from that website, send us an email, say hi, ask a question, suggest a topic for a future episode, whatever. We like to hear from you. And we'd also really appreciate if you left us a review on Apple Podcasts, and Spotify also has reviews now. So shoot us a couple stars, help boost the algorithms, send our podcast to other listeners, other awake, not woke individuals. That would be deeply appreciated. And while you're leaving us a review, make sure you hit the follow or subscribe button on whatever app you may be using, because we have episodes coming out every Sunday at 4:44 a.m. Eastern Time, and I don't want you to miss them. So make sure you hit that follow or subscribe button so you get notified every Sunday. And if you are listening every Sunday and you're finding value from our podcast, you are thinking deeply, you are thinking about the spiritual, whatever value you may receive from this podcast, maybe put a number on it and you can reimburse that value back to us through our Value for Value shop. The link to that is in the show notes. We are currently doing an Etsy shop for ease of use, and you can send us donations or choose your own price for some cool merch that we have. Whatever works for you and whatever amount of value is unique to you, whatever number, we can't put a number on the value that you receive from this podcast. So there is no wrong answers. Check that out. We'd really appreciate it. And while you're on Etsy, check out Chas, my lovely co-host's shop, 5D Impressions shop on Etsy. She makes hand-stamped jewelry, apparel, all kinds of cool stuff. Get yourself something cool, get your mom something cool, whatever. It's really cool stuff. So check that out as well. That is also in the show notes. And yeah, I think that's all I have to remind you of. So without further ado, let's get on to the episode, episode 40. We're talking about the thought realm on Awake Not Woke Podcast with your host, myself, and Chas. Peace.
Hey, welcome back to Awake Not Woke Podcast. This is Sarah and Chas.
Hello.
Today we're going to be talking about the thought realm. What is the thought realm? What's our understanding of it? And kind of just an overall brief explanation, I would say, and also a spiritual side to it and how our thoughts do in fact relate to our spiritual well-being in life and how it manifests in our physical reality as well.
Yeah. There's a lot of different ways you can take this conversation, and I kind of want to go in all of them, but let's start with just the boring scientific definition.
Wait, do you want to play the game?
Oh, yeah. We almost forgot. Yes. Let's do that first.
Okay. So you explain the game.
Okay. So there's this game on TikTok that's been going viral, and I'll link like a TikTok in the show notes of someone else playing this game just to show you what it looks like. But we are going to play this game where we're each going to say a word out loud. And at first, it's just going to be any random word. And then we're going to say another word out loud at the exact same time. And we're trying to say the same word. So the second time we say a word, we're going to try and say a word that relates to the first two words we say. And we're going to keep doing that until we say the same word.
And I'm saying a word that relates to what you said in hopes of getting to the same end result.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, we don't have an end result in mind. This is kind of just all the idea, how the reason why we're playing this is because it does relate to the thought realm.
Yeah, and when we are thinking of a thing, it is putting a thought out into that realm, and it might bump into Chas's little bubble of the thought realm and get into her brain or vice versa. So we're going to give this a try and see where we end up.
Hopefully it's not a massive fail, but if it is, whatever.
Okay. Ready? One, two, three.
Lando. Oh, that was actually really close.
That was really close. I said light and you said window. Okay. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay. Ready? One, two, three, sunlight. Sun. No, that was like pretty much the same thing.
Of course we would get it right. Like first time.
I said sunlight and you said sun, but that's pretty much the same thing, same right? Thing. Okay, same. Well, game's over.
We won. That was so good. I did not expect that.
No, I thought we were going like, to go for like
this is going to be bad.
10 minutes. Okay, well, and you know, honestly, that is a great way to start out this conversation before I get into the boring scientific stuff, because we've talked about how since we've become really close friends, we have had moments where we're just like thinking the same thing, mm-hmm. or like reading each other's minds in a kind of way. But this conversation, I think, is going to kind of put out on the table how, like, the mechanics of how I think that's working, because this was a perfect example. Two people who are like kind of on the same wavelength in life, so we're gonna kind of be on the same brain wavelength in that thought, so our thoughts are gonna be on the same vibrational level.
Yeah.
So our thought realms are just real close to each other.
That was crazy.
That was really good.
I really wasn't expecting that. That was awesome.
I didn't either. And I almost said chair. Like, I was panicking, but then I just went light because there's a light switch behind your head. I don't know. Like, that's so funny.
I almost said box.
Oh, God. Okay. That was really good. That was a great start to this conversation. Okay. Anyway, so scientifically, what are thoughts? First of all, it's just a theory. All of this is just theory. We have not proved fucking any of this, which I think is really interesting, because we take for granted that like science is science. Science is, is just facts. Like, follow the science. But it's not always that cut and dry. Actually, it's usually not that cut and dry. So scientifically, scientists believe that by firing, in quotes, a string of neurons that are associated with whatever thing you're thinking of, you create a thought. So like neural pathways, which I do like think there have been some legitimate studies on brain plasticity and learning and developing these neural pathways, changing bad habits, that kind of thing. Like, scientifically, this is what's going on. For example, if you have a bad habit of, I don't know, biting your nails or something like that, there's a neural pathway in your brain which means just a string of neurons that fire every time you think, I'm going to bite my nails, or you start biting your nails subconsciously. That neural pathway fires. And in order to change that bad habit, when that neural pathway goes off and lights up or fires, you gotta redirect it, and you gotta change that neural pathway or reassociate that neural pathway with a new good habit. So if that one neural pathway is a really worn in walking trail, that's just very worn in, you got to start wearing in a new walking trail. So that's your new way of handling that thought. So scientifically, that's kind of just what scientists think thoughts are in general, whereas different parts of your brain light up when you think of different things, and it's just neurons firing. But I think anybody who has had a moment like we just had, or been thinking of somebody and then they call them, or they, so something that happens to me a lot is I learn a new word and then I hear people using that word all over the place. And I'm somebody who, if I don't know a word, I'm looking it up immediately. So I would have heard that word before. If I hear a new word and I'm going to look it up. So
it's not just like the idea of thinking of a yellow car, seeing a yellow car everywhere kind of a thing, but also kind of.
But I think people usually just shrug off like the new word concept, for example, as like, well, now you know what it is, so you're going to recognize it when you hear it. But I don't necessarily agree with that, because there have been like very specific words that I don't know the meaning of, like carrion from our last episode. Like, haven't heard it any other place. But if I looked up carrion and then I heard some guy on the news say carrion and then a guy on a podcast say carrion, I would have already looked up that word if right. it was around that often. So that's the kind of thing that we're thinking of. So scientifically, that's what's going on. But I like to point out that the article, I was on Psychology Today that I pulled this information from for the science part of it. I went all the way to the bottom to the like credits or the bibliography or whatever, mm-hmm. where they were pulling this information from. And it said parts of this article were adapted from Ralph Lewis's article, Finding Purpose in a Godless World. And I'm like, well,
whoa,
don't agree with that. So yeah, that I think is a very cold representation of what thoughts are, because we don't live in a godless world.
Right.
So take that with what you will. I do think there is some value in understanding that, but I think there is a lot more to the conversation of thoughts than just neurons firing.
Yeah. On that note of neurons firing, it kind of reminds me of the thing that I heard in researching this, is that the idea that thoughts are atoms, and what are atoms? They're
yes.
energy.
Yes.
So with that, it's when we were playing that game, we are conductors of energy. So basically, my interpretation of this is that my atoms were bumping into your atoms,
yep.
and that's how we came to the conclusion of sun, because they're still out there. It's just we're conductors of these atoms, of these energy. And that's, I think, why you can change those neural pathways as well, because we are made up of these atoms. We're made up of this energy.
Mm-hmm.
So energy can't be created or destroyed, but it can be moved or transformed or converted. And I think that's too why the power of positive thinking is mm-hmm. also, it works.
So powerful. Yeah.
It works, because you truly can, you are the conductor of your own energy, but also the energy. So you do have the power to do that. And that's why
yep.
the thoughts are so important, because they are pieces of these atoms
yep.
firing in these neural pathways.
Yep. Yeah. No, the next part of my notes was exactly where you're going with this, is I have, theoretically, there are a lot of philosophical people who believe that thoughts exist as tiny atom-like objects in their own like invisible dimension. So that's what we're kind of referring to when we talk about the thought realm. And Madame Blavatsky, whatever her name is, the theosophy person from the late 1800s, early 1900s. We've talked about her in like reference
she's
to Kabbalah
too, right?
Yeah, she's an occultist, but I think she was part of the Theosophical Society, which is
another one
of those like occultist groups or whatever. She talks a lot about the thought realm and even breaks down like all the levels of existence and
mm-hmm.
says there's like seven planes of existence.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is this intellectual plane. The Kabbalah also talks about the intellectual triad, which I believe is that first triangle on the Tree of Life, where like right above Malkut,
oh.
there's that first trinity of
yeah.
spheres
yeah, yeah.
on the tree. I think that is the intellectual sphere. So that would kind of like all three of those together would be the thought realm, essentially. And in the Kabbalah episode, we talked about how in that realm is where you're conducting folk magic, ritual magic, spell work, manifestation. That's where it's all happening, is in that realm. And with all my research I've done for this episode, that all sounds pretty accurate still.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my opinions have not really changed about any of that. So, for example, just to kind of put this idea and this concept, our little game we played at the beginning was a great example of how these little atoms are working in practice. But I wrote down a couple other just little examples of how you can think about thoughts in a context. So the first one is very similar to what we just did. And I wrote, you and your significant other, specifically someone that you are connected with.
Right.
And like, we are really close friends, so we have a connection like that.
Right.
But someone who like you spend all of your time with, I'm sure anybody out there who has a long-term partner can relate to, you're with your significant other, and you both suddenly just think about going to the same restaurant for dinner without communicating it out loud. Happens with my boyfriend and I all the time. It's usually like, you want to go to Chipotle? And then he's like, yeah, I want to go to Chipotle. I was just thinking that. And for no apparent reason, I mean, obviously it's probably around lunchtime. Like you normally eat around this time, but without thinking out loud or without saying anything out loud, you both have a thought just pop into your head out of nowhere. In your independent experience, it came out of nowhere. In their independent experience, it came out of nowhere. But you both had that thought at the exact same time. You express it. I was just thinking that.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of people have had similar experiences to that. And that is, again, these atom-like thoughts existing. And maybe in the thought realm, like you're getting kind of hungry. So you're trying to like subconsciously, not on the surface, subconsciously, you're thinking about eating. And then in the thought realm, poop into the conscious. Poop. I'm glad that got a laugh out of you. And into your consciousness is a resolution to your hunger. So you're not seeing all these mechanics working, but in this realm existing are these little atoms. And all of a sudden, Chipotle comes to mind as a resolution to your subconscious issue that you didn't realize you were thinking about. Another example is when you're meditating and you always hear like in meditation, guided meditations or meditation teachers, that thoughts are going to float into your awareness like clouds. And yeah. The idea of learning to meditate is letting those thoughts float in and then float out. You don't want to focus on any one of those thoughts. And I know that's not easy for me. When I'm thinking about stuff, when I'm meditating, there's thoughts floating in and then I'm like, oh yeah, that thing happened in my day. And then all of a sudden there's more thoughts and more thoughts and more thoughts. And then I'm not meditating anymore. I'm just thinking.
Right.
So when you meditate, you're learning to let those thoughts float in and let them float out. And with this concept of the thought realm, now we understand that not only are you letting them float into your brain and letting them float out, these are like literal things that in some invisible dimension layered on top of us right now, they are literally floating into your brain and literally floating out of your brain back into the thought realm.
Right.
So that I thought was a really good image too, because a lot of the people listening to our podcast probably or somewhere in that Venn diagram of conspiracy or spiritual. So if you're more in that spiritual realm, I'm sure you've tried meditating before and can relate to this feeling.
Yeah.
And now when you go to meditate, you'll be able to more easily like push it away just by understanding this concept alone, because it's not all internal. It's very external as well. You know, it's not just these like all up in your head, these thoughts. And yeah. I personally find that very relieving. So when I meditate, before I understood this concept, it was like, well, where does the thoughts go? It's all like caught up in my head. So I just kept getting caught in these loops of thinking, but you can literally release them back into the thought realm.
Yeah, they have a place to go.
They have a place to go. And then the other example I have is when a thought pops into your head just out of nowhere and you ponder it and then it grows. I've had this experience like shower thoughts. You just have this random idea in the shower and then you ponder on it, you think on it, and it grows and grows and grows into an idea or a concept or a something creative. That's right. Where a lot of this like creative inspiration comes from. And even with like the lack of creative inspiration could be there's not a lot of good thoughts floating around you right now. You're in this like weird kind of void zone, and that's why it's always helpful to like get out and walk in nature, go exercise, go do something out of your routine, because that's going to attract new thoughts into that thought realm. So yeah, those are the examples I have of how this like atom like idea works. And I really like to think of this specific concept in these examples because it's a very abstract thing, but it's also like a very like tangible thing when you start to think about it.
And one thing that I read too heard, I can't remember if it was a video or whatnot, but thought is action in the spirit realm. So initially when I heard that, I needed to digest it. It took me a minute, but the more I thought on it, the more I understood it, because action is energy. Mm-hmm. Energy is movement. So our thoughts do affect or impact our spirits, and not only our spirits, but kind of that idea of collective spirits. So when it comes to like the law of attraction, for instance, it works because we are constantly putting those thoughts out there, mm-hmm. out there, and then it manifests into our reality. Or that Ching Ching song that mm-hmm. we talked about.
Ching Ching goes the money tree.
So think about all of the energy or thoughts or movement that's put into that one single song. And the reason why it's so effective for so many people is because of that, because there's so much power in that energy. And when you focus on it, it becomes an idea and then it becomes manifested into its physical form. So I thought that it was really interesting in relation to the law of attraction, because that's what this is. That's why reprogramming your subconscious is so important. That's why knowing what's in your conscious is so important, because if you don't, it can just run rampant. And then you get into that monkey brain of meditation mm-hmm. and it can go in the opposite way too. So if you're constantly thinking of negative things, or I'm feeling so sad, or I'm so depressed, or mm-hmm. you know, you're constantly just reliving all of these negative experiences or dwelling on them, that's going to manifest into a physical reality some way, somehow. Maybe it's physical disease. Maybe it's dis-ease. Maybe mm-hmm. it's a fight with your friend or your spouse or conflict at your job. It's going to come out one way or another.
Yep. Yeah. I really like that thought.
Thought is action in the spirit realm.
I love that, because that's exactly what I mean by it's somehow more tangible when mm-hmm. you start to think about this as a realm. Because Andrew Cipriano, we had an episode recently with just me and Andrew, and he's getting into life coaching. And one of the things he's learning about with life coaching, because he really wants to help other people to create direction in their lives and improve their lives and improve themselves as people, is you change your thoughts and then you change your emotion and then you change your actions. And we did a little exercise together on the episode where he asked me to think of something that causes me like a not good thought. And I said, because that day I was going out doing errands before I hung out with him. And I said, whenever I interact with people, especially like strangers or people I'm uncomfortable with for whatever reason, I walk away and I'm really anxious because I think I said something stupid. Even if I didn't, even if I know I didn't, it's like, did I act weird? Did I act stupid? And Andrew's life coaching advice and exercise was, okay, now let's change that thought consciously into a thought that makes you feel good. And I said, okay, something that I usually do when I'm feeling this kind of anxiety is I tell myself, nobody's thinking that deeply about my actions and my words. Cause when I think about other people, I can't think of anything anyone else said that was stupid. Like I wasn't, right. But so why would anybody be thinking about what I said as being stupid? So he said, okay, so that brings you content. That's a new thought and you feel content. And now your action is that you feel content and that you move on with your day. Whereas before, my thought was, oh my gosh, I did something stupid. And then I feel anxious. And then my action is I continue to be weird and anxious, and it verifies that thought and you get caught in that loop. So now thinking about that type of exercise in this aspect is, not only did I change my thought to, they're not thinking that deeply of me, I wasn't weird, everything's fine, I'm putting that out there and it's creating this new emotion. It's creating this new action within me, because the thought realm is creating new vibrations to that stimulus response.
Yeah.
So it's really applicable to lots of different segments of your life. Like, change, like positive thinking is always such a life coaching or a self-help type thing, but it just goes so much deeper than that. And
for sure,
another really interesting thing that I always think of when I think of the thought realm is called simultaneous discovery. So there is a phenomenon, or multiple discovery is another word for it. And there's a Wikipedia list of, I think it's on Wikipedia, of a whole list of instances of multiple discovery, and I'll link that in the show notes because it's really, really interesting. But that is this phenomenon where multiple people discover the same thing at the same time. Or I guess I have written down here convergent evolution is another word for it. So, for example, in the 1600s, we all know Isaac Newton invented calculus. I'm not sure. I mean, you probably don't know that off the top of your head, but it's a common fact. Like, Isaac Newton invented calculus, or discovered calculus, I should say. But at the same time, some guy named Gottfried Leibniz also discovered it. Exact same time. Right. Weird. Around in the 1600s. Same thing happened in the 1800s with Charles Darwin, who described natural selection. Exact same time, this guy named Alfred Russel Wallace also described natural selection. It also happened with the guys who invented the plane, the brothers.
Wright brothers.
The Wright brothers. They got accredited for inventing flight, but someone else across the world invented flight at the exact same time that they did. I mean, I'm sure with plus or minus days, weeks, whatever,
right.
But close enough, and they didn't communicate, and it was both invented around the same time. So this is always what I think of when I think of the thought realm, because this is another great tangible example of how this thought realm works, because it is a dimension. It is overlying this world we're looking around right now. We're recording right now. There's also a thought realm all around us, and in every single atom that exists in this room, there's also the thought realm right over top of it. So if we make some insane life world changing discovery like flight or calculus or natural selection, it's a very, very powerful little atom that's existing in the thought realm. It's probably a very large little atom.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and these are all symbolic words, obviously, but if a thought like just sun and window, if those little thoughts are just tiny little specks, the invention of flight is like a absolute gigantic thought compared to literally just words. So if that absolutely gigantic thought exists and somebody pulls it into their consciousness and thinks of it and discovers it or invents it or whatever, even if it already existed out in the thought realm, which is another conversation we can have, the chances of somebody else pulling into that thought and thinking of that thought are pretty high.
For sure.
You know? And so there is such a long list of instances of these things being invented at the same time. And I don't know, that fact alone always blows my mind so much, because to me, that's proof that there's a thought realm in my brain. Because if there wasn't, how does that happen so consistently?
Yeah. And it's proof of the connectedness within us all, that oneness sort of concept of someone thinking something at one time and then halfway across the world it happens. How are we all connected? I think when people think about we are one, we are connected, I feel like, at least for me, that at one point there was almost this very literal, I was trying to think about it very literally, or you can get into like bloodlines or things like that too, but really it's the concept of we are all energy, and that driving force, that energy is what connects us all. So I think you've even talked about it a long time ago. You'd mentioned like the McDonald's arches. If there's not a McDonald's sign, but we see those golden arches, that everyone knows like that's McDonald's, like mm-hmm. that's French fries. So it's French fries.
that is French fries. It is.
But it's that concept of the interconnectedness within us all, and what that connectedness is the energy that we are made up of. And that energy exists in that thought realm, and they all just bump into each other, like on random mm-hmm. occurrences and in really big ways, like calculus.
Yeah. And the thought realm is, from what I am conceptualizing, a dimension. Again, I've said it like three times already, but if it's a dimension and we know there to be more than likely other beings that exist within other dimensions that are, whether angels, aliens, fairies, whatever, there are other intelligent, energetic beings like ourselves that exist without a flesh suit within these other dimensions. There could be beings putting things and thoughts into the thought realm, either for our benefit or to harm us. Exactly. So I like to think of like guardian angels in this conversation, because sometimes you just have a thought and you're like, I'm not going to go that way to work today. why did I have that thought? Why did I just change direction and going to work?
Yeah. Or
I have a bad feeling about going to work. Like, you hear that about like school shootings or 9/11. Like, people just had a bad feeling. Where did that thought come from?
Right.
Like, sure, it could come from intuition or just like this interconnectedness like you talk about, but it could also come from a more intelligent being that is helping guide us, like angel numbers, for example. I was listening to a Know Thyself episode recently, and Daniel was talking about how in the past, people didn't have clocks. People didn't have digital clocks like laying around literally everywhere. So in this modern age, numbers are so powerful, and the beings that like guardian angels can communicate through these symbolic channels. So therefore, clocks and numbers is a commonly used channel by these beings and angels to communicate with us through in a more direct way.
Yeah.
But the most direct way is just into your brain. And a lot of people talk about having, I mean, not a lot of people, but you, if you do research into religious experiences, there are people who say it just popped in my brain, or a voice came into my head and I just had this thought of a voice that I didn't know where it came from. So this is, again, a use of this thought realm, this thought dimension, to directly communicate, whether for good or for bad, to us on this physical dimension.
And I think when it comes to things that, like propaganda, for instance, the powers that be, social engineers, whatever you want to call it, they know this. They know that it exists. So when it comes to propaganda, you know, we're talking about these thoughts can incite feelings of peace, comfort, joy, whatever, or fear or negativity. Mm-hmm. And when we meditate or focus on or dwell on these thoughts that we see, such as in propaganda, it begins to manifest itself in the physical reality. And that's what they want. So I mean, we could have a whole conversation about CERN and the shifting dimensions and all of that, but that's what they want. That's why, you know, being hooked on the media is so
toxic.
Yeah, it's so toxic for so many people, because it draws your attention away from your own independent thinking. And I don't mean independent that we're not all connected. I just mean you're not taking somebody else's word for it, or falling
your discernment.
Yeah, and you're not falling prey to thoughts that are not your own.
Yes,
from a negative sort of direction.
I mean, look at the last 2 years we've experienced with this pandemic. Like, a lot of people you talk to are not speaking words that are their own. They are blatantly repeating, and they, a lot of them don't realize they're doing it, but they are repeating words of politicians, of people who they have given the power of their thoughts to, mm-hmm. without even realizing it. It's a really deep concept too, when you talk about this kind of stuff, because they can, people who understand the thought realm can not only implant thoughts into your head that are not your own, but they can subconsciously influence you to believe almost anything.
Yes.
Recently posted something on Instagram, on our Awake Not Woke Instagram, about Disney, and they have been subtly putting chemtrails in so many Pixar movies. Like, if you look at the sky, a blue sky in a Pixar or Disney movie, there's like almost always a chemtrail through it, which is not a normal thing. Back in 1800s, there were not lines of clouds through the sky. But now all of a sudden, even in our Disney movies, there's lines of clouds going through the sky, just subtly putting in there that this is normal. And your kids grow up and watch that, and then they look up at the sky, and there's no conscious connection being made that, like, I looked up at the sky in my Disney movie and saw this line of clouds, and now I look up at the sky in the real world and there's a line of clouds.
Yeah.
These little kids or even adults aren't consciously making those thoughts. But when you're constantly shown this common thing, you don't think of it as much. Or, for example, in Disney movies, there are a lot of hidden sexual references in mm-hmm. Disney movies, which is just really fucking creepy. But it's
gross.
Sexualizing our children earlier, making pedophilia more normalized. Like, there's all these disgusting ideas they can slowly introduce to you that you would not have considered had they just said, you know what I mean? Like fucking kids, and it's normal, right?
Right.
Like no one's going to be like, yeah, that's normal. Like, you know what I mean? Ugh. But you can, they can eventually convince you of these fucked up things, or like fucking injecting yourself with mystery liquid. Like,
and if going back to that, if thought is action in the spirit realm, that's spiritual warfare. What they're doing, implanting those thoughts, implanting those ideas, making it normal, going into your subconscious, that is spiritual warfare. And I think spiritual warfare can take on many different connotations and many different concepts. I think you can think about it from a lot of different angles, but specific to the thought realm, that's literally it. I mean, one thing that I found, again, because I'm going into the Bible for everything these days, is that it's a literal commandment for us to manage our thoughts. So by being hooked on the media and not independent thinking, you're actually violating that commandment. You're not doing that. You're not guarding those thoughts. And when we get into the subconscious, we talked about in the Law of Attraction episode, I mentioned, you know, that's your heart. So what does the Bible say about your heart all the time? Guard your heart. Guard your subconscious. Make sure that the thoughts that you have are pure. Make sure that the things, these motives that govern your life are pure and of God. Because if they're not, where I think it's what's in the heart, the mouth speaks, or something like that. I mean, it's so important. And I think from a spiritual perspective, we kind of bypass that.
Yeah.
We think a lot about, you know, positive thoughts, don't have negative thoughts.
Yep.
But we don't think about how those things really can enhance or harm our spirit, and not only our spirit, but our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. And that goes both ways. The whole, like, what would you say about in the Bible? It's like our right to.
As a commandment.
Commandment. Yeah. That goes both ways in today's society, because a lot of this, like, the media is lying to you, the media is controlling you, is very directed at like Democrats, but it goes both ways. It goes both ways. It's very much the same thing, Republican, Democrat, whatever. But the spiritual warfare plays in the idea where they're manipulating everyone's thoughts. Mm-hmm. They're on both sides. The
no doubt.
Democratic side, they're convincing you to like, shut up, wear a mask, give me your rights, like, give me your guns, no, don't do anything. But on the Republican side, they're convincing you like focus on gay marriage and focus on all these like little battles, or like Trump is the best guy ever. Let's just like all for Trump, like fuck Joe Biden. Like we're all caught up in this stupid back and forth that means nothing, or arbitrarily not allowing your kids to play with dolls just because you don't want them to grow up in this liberal society, or like it goes hardcore both ways. And I like to point that out, because clearly not all our listeners realize that we're not on either one of those sides.
And it's not about that. We were talking about that earlier. You know, when it comes to relationship with God, it's not about whether or not you're Democrat, Republican, Libertarian,
Christian, Buddhist.
It doesn't. God is God. And when we try to break it down into man-made standards, words, rules, it doesn't make sense. And it's not an accurate depiction of who God is and what our relationship with God could be. There's one other verse that I found about the heart specifically. And I'm going to get into a little conversation about sin, just lightly, not super deep into it, but I kind of had a light bulb moment on that too.
Mm-hmm.
So Psalms 119:11 says, "In my heart I store up your words so I might not sin against you." So I think when it comes to sin, especially in these religious communities, sin can be so many things. But when we're talking about the concept of the Bible was written a long ass time ago. So we have to take that into account when we're thinking about this.
Yeah, always.
But when we don't purify our hearts, when we don't govern our thoughts, that's, like I said, violating that commandment. And that's essentially what sin is.
Mm-hmm.
It's going against those things. So the Bible also talks about, you know, I keep your words written on my heart. That's why, because your heart is your subconscious. Your subconscious fuels your conscious, which is your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to remember that, because we are called to sanctify our hearts, to purify it, to make it holy.
Yeah, that's really interesting too, specifically with the sin thing, because I remember Know Thyself talking about how sin is also a word that means how much off the mark you miss. So like in archery, yes. If you hit the bullseye, there's no sin. But if you're a little off the mark, that's your sin. It's how far off the bullseye you yep. are. So with what you're saying, that makes so much sense, because to sin would be you're off the mark with your own thoughts and your own heart. You're allowing someone else to control your thoughts or your heart, and it's not purified, so it's purely your own. It's being influenced by someone else. Because if you are pure of heart and pure of mind, in my brain, how I would interpret that would be mean you have ultimate discernment. You are clear that this is your pathway. You are making your own decisions. You are making your own observations of what is right, what is wrong. You're not allowing someone else to tell you what is right or what is wrong. That mm-hmm. someone who is impure of heart or of mind can't make their own decisions, can't yep. make their own thoughts and actions. And they're stuck in believing someone else or fearing because someone else told them to be fearful instead of trusting in God. So I love that, because that sin is another thing that I can get really frustrated when Same. Talking to like Christians and stuff, because it's like, I don't know, some of that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, but that makes perfect sense.
And I think one of the reasons why it can get so heated is because the whole idea of sin is that if you sin, you go to hell.
Right.
So we could have, I mean, I'm not even going to go down that road, because that's a whole other conversation, in my opinion, the whole heaven and hell and all of that. But I just found it so, it was kind of eye-opening to me and kind of like a whoa. Like sin, for me growing up, sin was associated with conviction. So I felt mm-hmm. wrong. I felt dirty. I felt gross when I sinned. But sometimes it doesn't necessarily mean that. It could just mean missing the mark. And missing mm-hmm. the mark means not governing your thoughts. And one other thing that I kind of found interesting that I think could also lead into a much greater conversation is the mind of God. You know, God has mm-hmm. thoughts about us mm-hmm. too. Specifically, they're good. They're of peace. They're of love. That God is love. So all of these things that that God thinks about us, they're not of fear. They're not of manipulation. They're not of control. One of my favorite Bible verses of all time, and if you're a Bible reader or if you are in any way associated with that, you probably know it too, but it's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, thoughts to give you an expected end. Another interpretation that's pretty widely out there is, I know the plans that I have for you, but I think it's the KJV translation is, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, which was really impactful for me when talking about the thought realm.
Yeah, because if God has thoughts for us, he is sending us those little
just
atoms.
Like that guardian angel thing that you were just talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Or even just like our little game that we played, except instead of us trying to send thoughts to each other, and God's all powerful, so if God is sending you a thought, it's going to be so pure and so genuine. And I also want to talk about abstract thoughts for a second, because abstract thinking is something a lot more complex and deep. I think it's more in that subconscious realm, the not on the surface level right. of thinking. So a thought from God could also be just that feeling of awe in some moments that we feel, like the birth of your child or watching a sunset with someone you love. Like those moments where you feel so pure and light and full of life, that could be a thought from God as well, because it's just so genuine and pure.
And I think when you have those things, it really speaks to your alignment with God. Mm-hmm. Or alignment could also mean that relationship with God. But I think I like using the word alignment because it kind of fits more of how I think about all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And the subconscious thing is, God, it's just crazy to me. And then, I mean, we talked about the subconscious being your heart, and that's why emotions are so important when it comes to the law of attraction or mm-hmm. the words that
you
speak.
Gotta actually feel it.
But I never really connected the dots to the scriptures about having a pure heart and why that all related.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just, it opened my eyes to a lot of things. And again, it reinforced this idea that we are in a spiritual war. Mm-hmm. There's a literal Bible verse that says we aren't fighting against flesh and blood. I actually wrote it down. Yeah, our struggle or our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And the first thing, too, that I think of when I hear that verse is the unseen world. Not only is that dimensions.
Exactly.
But it's also, what else is the unseen world, like in our literal world right now? Secret societies,
mm-hmm.
those talking behind closed doors, politics, political wars and wars between world leaders and everything, the globalism. These are all unseen to us. And this spiritual warfare is happening in those rooms, not just out in a battlefield somewhere. All this Ukraine stuff is going on. That's not the war that we need to be worried about. The war that is happening is happening in other dimensions. It's happening in our brains, in our hearts. Like, that is where it's happening. And the whole pure of heart thing, the war is happening for your heart, for the impurity of your heart. And if you're out there watching the news, terrified to take your mask off, telling your friends to get vaccinated, all this stuff, I hate to say it, but you're not exactly pure of heart. And same with all the conservatives out there who are like, Trump is here to save us and he was the greatest president ever and won't let their kids look at a Barbie doll. Like, they're also not pure of heart in the way that this is talking about, at least from my interpretation.
Yeah. And I think when it comes to saying someone's pure of heart, someone isn't pure of heart.
Yeah.
For me, I do not think you meant it in this way whatsoever.
Right.
But for me, I feel that we talked about earlier, we're only the judge of ourselves.
Exactly.
And I think being pure of heart in relation to the commandment that we were issued via God and the Bible is a way of being obedient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obedient is also another, it kind of goes in tandem with sin. It's got all this connotation of we have to submit, we have to be obedient, we have to lay down all of these things. But being obedient is just simply purifying your heart, governing your thoughts, and not allowing others to push it down your throat, because that's
for sure
that's not the point.
And when I ever talk about anything involving other people, I'm usually doing that from the perspective of myself, like, if I were to purify my heart, what would I do? And if I were to have an unpure heart, what would I be doing?
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of look at it, because you're totally right. It's not my place to judge any particular person or people or type of person for whatever they're doing. And I also firmly stand by the idea that our perspectives are hugely important, especially when it comes to spiritual topics, because God is infinite. We cannot understand infinity. Therefore, everybody's perspective on God, if you think about it that much, is important. So I do think it's all important, but I also have my own opinions and my own perspectives on myself. And usually when I'm talking about like other people, or if you're doing this, you're this, I'm still doing it from my own perspective, just as like a disclaimer. But
yeah, and the perspectives can also be, I think the word interpretation can also be used with that too. And we were talking about this with our friends the other day, but I find so much value in listening to other people's interpretations, not only of the Bible, but of lots of things, current events, literally anything, psychology, our emotions, trauma. I value so much of hearing other people's experiences, perspectives, interpretations, because ultimately, do I attach to one thing someone tells me and that becomes my view forever? No, but it helps me shape my own view in order to reframe how I think and my thoughts about said topic.
Yeah. And to kind of bring that full circle with this thoughts conversation, when you do that and you bring other people's perspectives and opinions into your own consideration, and again, not taking it as like, this is my truth now.
Right.
When you're always considering others' perspectives, you're always considering those little atoms that are floating around in the thought realm. And you're picking up on what atoms feel right, feel good, feel pure, and what little atoms feel impure or wrong. And again, atoms as in literal thoughts in the thought realm. So when you do that and when you practice that, like listening to other perspectives of the Bible, of current events, of not just listening to one perspective,
yeah,
you are not only exercising your fundamental, what was it again? The commandment that you will control your own thoughts. You are exercising that, but you are also exercising ultimate discernment, in my opinion, because you are humbling yourself that I am just a piece of this puzzle.
Yep.
And everyone else is a piece of this puzzle. And I want to collect all your thoughts in my thought realm so I can understand this puzzle on a greater scale.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's so interesting.
And the commandment and obedience thing, in my opinion, is just one part of it.
Right.
Because, you know, we have the Spirit of God in us, the power of God within us. So yeah, we're commanded to do it, but we literally have dominion over our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have the option and the choice to reject when we're meditating, mm-hmm. to let things flow in, let things flow out. So it's really easy, I think, to get stuck on one thought and then mm-hmm. feel that you are somehow held captive by that thought,
mm-hmm.
but you're not. You have always had the power. Yep. You will always have the power. And that's not a theory. Like, it just is.
You
are a conductor of energy.
And to go in the more like logical mindset, again, I talked to Andrew Cipriano recently. He's getting into life coaching. And this is the exact same thing he was telling me. We're coming at it from a very spiritual, godly perspective. But from a literal perspective, you have control over your thoughts. And the thoughts leads to emotion and the emotion leads to action.
Yep.
Therefore, if you change your thoughts, you change your life, you change your actions, yep. you change everything. And if you have a hard time doing that, find a life coach, find a therapist, find a friend who will listen to you and tell you, maybe you think about it this way. Maybe you think about it. Me and Chas do it to each other all the time.
Like, yeah.
Just think about it a little differently. Let's talk about it. You don't have to do this alone. If you need help, get help. That's okay. But when it all comes down to it, it's learning to exercise your control over your brain, your thoughts.
Rightful control.
Exactly. And I mean, think of it like you would any other muscle. If you are a dancer, or let's go even a little more technical, like dancing is very technical, but my brain comes from hula hooping, which is like a circus art. And those are you have to be very technical when you're performing object manipulation tricks, whether with a hula hoop, with juggling, with trapeze, with anything like that. If you are trying to become a hula hooper or a trapeze artist, you need to learn ultimate control over your muscles. You need to be able to fire those muscles at the exact moment so you don't fall into your death from a height or if smack yourself in the face with a hula hoop. So to do that, what do? You do it over and over again, and right. over and over and over and over and over and over again. And you create that muscle memory and
or subconscious
or the neural pathways.
Kind of like
exactly.
The same.
Yep. It is the exact same thing. So with your thoughts, you think a bad thought or you think a thought that creates you to have anxiety or whatever it is, you think a different thought. And then you move on.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people can come in with this like, well, what if I can't control my thoughts? What if I have intrusive thoughts? Like I have depressive thoughts and I have no control over it. It's not that you don't have control over it. It's that you have not exercised control over it for so long that you do not have that muscle memory anymore. And you got to redo it.
Yeah. And how you do that is that's your own personal journey.
Exactly.
I think, you know, because
I think that's the start of your hero's journey.
Yeah. And that's the whole point, is to learn how to gain that dominion over your thoughts, that control of your thoughts. And ultimately, when you do that, I think
you have control over your life,
and that will align. Well, not, I shouldn't say will, it can align you with the truth.
But see, and that relates us back to our manifestation episode. And we both were taking little different stances like we always do. And you were in the more like logical, like how to just manifest things mindset. And I was coming at it from this more like spiritual mindset. And in that conversation, we had conversations about how you can manifest anything you want, right. but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the best thing for you or what even you wanted, like that genie in the bottle that always has that catch when you're making a wish for something. And that's where I think that comes in, because you can change your thoughts and master your thoughts and still be in a place that's more disconnected with God and disconnected yes. with that highest power. You can be manifesting stuff all day and it's going to kind of not feel right still. Like, you can be super rich and have a nice car and have all these physical material things because you learned manifestation, but you can still be missing that higher connection. And that's where I think thoughts and spirituality kind of converge, because you have this like practical self-help mindset or this change your life mindset, which is still kind of manifestation, but more of like a practical way. And then you have this like godly, like spiritual side of thoughts. And you kind of need both of those. Oh, like this yeah. is where that duality shows itself once again in our conversation. There's a duality to this where you can still have control in both aspects, but it's finding the balance between the meat suit video game and the spiritual energy being.
Yeah.
Where in the middle are you with those thoughts?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a lot of my notes we already went through, but I have a little section on manifestation specifically. And we've already kind of talked about a lot of it, but to touch on like witchcraft for a moment, the more I learn about spirituality and God and thoughts and manifestation, the more I realize witchcraft is it's a great tool, but it's not like the thing that you should be doing all the time.
I couldn't agree more. And I've actually been having very similar insights into all of that as of late as well.
Right. And like, for example, I used to put a lot of energy into like cleansing myself and using like sage and incense and I still do these things because it's a way to focus your thoughts, but it's not the thing I'm doing. So specifically, the thing that I did every single day for a while was I had a necklace that's like for, and I'm not wearing it right now, but it's for like, it's like a copper thing to like
the EMF
thing. Yes, yeah. That thing. And while I do still think that's probably works and probably helps to wear it, just keep EMF away from me, but I would charge it every morning before I went to work with a protection incense, and I'd focus my energy into protecting my energy, and I'd put this necklace on, and that necklace was going to protect my energy. And then slowly over like a year, I kind of stopped doing that, and I realized I didn't necessarily need that thing to protect my energy. It was the act of remembering to grab it in the morning, remembering to charge it in the morning, putting just a few moments of thought that I'm going to protect my energy today, and then putting the necklace on. That ritual of doing that was guiding my thoughts in a way that made it more powerful, that my energy would more likely be protected.
Right.
So it was the thoughts all along. And it's the practice, the physical thing of like charging the necklace or making a spell jar or burning a candle, that helps to charge the thoughts and to make that thought more powerful. So I do think it works. Like, I do think it's helpful, and it's gonna do good things for you. And I think, like, yeah, practice witchcraft if you'd like to, but at the same time, you can accomplish all of this without candles and herbs and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing about church. I don't need to go to church to know God.
Right.
It's all ritualistic. And I do think that there's a lot of benefit to those things if you're somebody that thrives off of that routine, that ritualistic sort of lifestyle where you want to do the same thing every day, and it helps to really anchor your mind in that sense of truth. Mm-hmm. Then yeah, by all means, do your thing. But when you know the truth, meaning your thoughts, when you know it, you're free.
And what is witchcraft? It is performing spells. Spells is spelling. Spelling is words. And words are your thoughts. So it all comes back to the same thing. And again, I can't stress enough that if you want to perform spells and rituals and witchcraft by all means. And I'm sure some of them are very, very, very powerful things. Like the whole Bohemian Grove episode we just did.
Right.
Those are rituals and spells and witchcraft and pagan shit that they're doing that clearly has a purpose and they believe it's working for them. And even all the like covering one eye and the Hollywood stuff, all of these are symbols and rituals that are made to amplify these energies, which were created from thoughts that exist in these other dimensions to do whatever they are doing.
Yep.
So can witchcraft work? Absolutely. Do you need it? No. You don't need it. But again, I still do it. I still do some of these things. If I'm having a particularly hard week, I will still charge that necklace and put it on because I do think it's helpful. I also still like will write sigils on things because again, that sigil represents a thought that I put energy into. And that energy exists within that sigil now. So when I use that sigil, it amplifies those thoughts and it's just extra.
I think all of that is a great way of grounding or anchoring yourself into those mindsets because it all does truly, truly come back to what we know and to what we think and to what we feel. As I
think, so I feel, so I act.
Yeah. So all of those things, are they necessary to be able to have to operate in that sense of true sovereignty and freedom in God and yourself? No, but they do help you stay grounded within those concepts so that they can be more readily available to you if you need them to be.
Yes. And if you are new to this, that's probably going to be extremely valuable to you starting out. I mean, we both kind of started out with this witchcraft mindset because it gave us tangible things to work with instead of just working in this literal invisible realm that we're talking about.
Yeah.
But the more, I don't want to say advanced, like we're some like advanced fucking engineers of the mind or some shit. Like we're not advanced by any means. No, but
I think it is cool to kind of see our evolution over time and to see how far we've come from sending each other tarot spreads every single morning and thinking like, I gotta do this because this is what gets my mind right, to now just knowing.
Mm-hmm. And like tarot is another interesting one too, because tarot is literally just telling you your own thoughts and like telling you in a symbolic way that deeply connects with these spiritual concepts. Like the tarot cards are very symbolic and very specifically connected to this, that, and the other spiritual concept. Like the major arcana is very deep. We've talked about it before.
Right.
But all of that lives within you. It is a story about you. So when you do a tarot spread, you are showing yourself your own thoughts and your own journey and your own things that you need to know or need to do. But do you need that tarot spread to tell you those things?
No.
You need God. And God is in the tarot spread, but he's also in your heart, in your subconscious, in your mind, in the thought realm, in literally everything. So
everything.
I still really love tarot and I love doing it for other people specifically because it's more impactful when someone who is not you, like physically, literally removed from you, does a tarot spread for you and is truly connecting with your thoughts and within that thought realm.
Your atoms are bumping.
Exactly. And I'm really good at picking up on other people's energy when doing tarot. And it can be really powerful for someone who needs a little extra direction on this specific thing or whatever. But I don't do tarot for myself pretty much at all anymore just because it's not providing me that same level of connection because I already have that within me now.
Mm-hmm.
Before I was relying on the tarot to like tell me what I need to know.
Right.
And now it's like, no, it was always within.
Always.
And again, even when I do it for other people, it's still within them, but I'm a conduit to allow them to see that more readily. And hearing it from somebody else is sometimes just very impactful. So
yeah.
I love tarot still. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah. I didn't mean to shit on it
any
means.
You didn't. I just liked because I'm very protective over some of these concepts because they were very special to me when I started out this spiritual journey. And now that I feel myself almost growing out of them, it's kind of like sad in a way, but it's not. Like I just like compulsively have to say I still love tarot. I love it a lot. I love doing it for people.
Yeah,
That's, even though I don't need it as much anymore. It's like a pacifier.
That's kind of that's kind of what I was trying to convey, I think, earlier to you when I was talking about this period in my life right now. There's just been a lot of transformation and mm-hmm. evolution and also coming together and breaking apart and detachment and unification, like all of these things all at
the
once.
Duality.
And it's, I think for a little period, I was kind of mourning a part of me mourning. That was mm-hmm. like leaving because I couldn't quite yet see what I was walking into. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm here, it's definitely this sense of, and I don't mean this in a conceited manner, but it's definitely a sense of I've just outgrown that part of mm-hmm. myself. And that doesn't mean that that part of me is gone or like never within me. It's all within me all the time, but I feel different. And I think mm-hmm. different was the only word I could think of at the time. But in talking about all of this, that's what I was trying to convey for sure, is just this sense of transformation and growth. And that's a beautiful thing. And I think we should be protective of those parts of ourselves because they're parts of us. You wouldn't just, you know, tell 5-year-old Sarah like, oh, I don't need you anymore. Like, yeah. No, like,
no, right.
Those things all reside within us. So I think it's great that we're protective of those things. And it's even greater that we are able to outgrow them while still holding everything close. Mm-hmm. And that's what brings that sweetness that I was talking about earlier too.
Totally. I totally know. It's like almost like a bittersweetness because it's
until you get to the all sweet part.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, this is a good conversation. Is there anything we didn't touch on?
I don't think so. I think this was honestly one of my favorite episodes.
This was really great. And if you have anything to add to the conversation, the listener, reach out to us. Send us your thoughts.
We'll play the game with a friend and let us know how it goes.
Yeah. I still can't believe how good we did. We literally got 2 rounds and we just won. Anyway. All right. Well, I think that's it.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. 1, 2, 3, sunlight.